Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Yes, still the greatest nation on God's green earth, though it is not by any means the happiest nation on earth. An annual survey that monitors the levels of happiness, satisfaction, optimism, shows that the United States isn't even in the top 20 anymore. It's tumbled 8 spots. We are now 23rd in the world. What are the nations on the top 10? There's some surprises, and big surprises, that we will get to covering this new revelation. There's also a declaration by Joe Manchin, the outgoing senator from West Virginia. No, he's not running for president, but he has just said that he believes that we would have the greatest atrocity in history if we do not provide military aid for Ukraine. Is that true? We'll be talking about that with Ilan Berman, foreign policy expert for various organizations, and talk to him about the prospect of Bibi Netanyahu visiting Israel. And speaking of which, there's breaking news just minutes ago. The Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, was asked to address the Senate Democrats at their caucus lunch today. But he turned away by Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Imagine that. Why it matters? Schumer last week called for new elections in Israel and levied harsh criticism on Netanyahu, a major move from the highest-ranking Jewish official in the U.S. government. I mean, when you say highest-ranking Jewish official in the U.S. government, okay, he's Senate Majority Leader, but he is not on the line of succession for the President of the United States. And this whole idea that he is the highest-ranking Jewish individual when we've had Jewish secretaries of state in the past several. And in any event, two sources familiar with the discussions say that Schumer rejected Netanyahu's request to address the Democrats via video. The Israeli Prime Minister spoke to Senate Republicans at their lunch on Wednesday. Okay, this is a very serious matter, because one of the things that people who care about Israel and its future regularly say is it should not become a partisan issue. And it's one of the reasons that what President Trump said recently about the people who vote Democratic, Jewish people who vote Democratic, not loving Israel, not caring about Israel, and in fact that they didn't care about our religion, unless you voted for Trump. Meanwhile, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, is saying today that he is considering inviting the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to address Congress. And that would be presumably a joint session of Congress. But I don't know. Would the Democratic majority allow that to involve the U.S. Senate? And would they be able to block, and the majority leader, Senator Schumer, be able to block the invitation for Netanyahu to fly over to Washington, and Washington, the uncontested capital of the United States, to have Netanyahu speak to a joint session of Congress? That happened before during the Obama administration. And it was considered a big political flub for Netanyahu, because what he did is he came to Congress and attacked the, and rightly attacked, it seems to me, the negotiations on Iran and the nuclear weapons that were going on with Barack Obama. And he was very clearly criticizing Obama for moving forward with that, who was president at the time, with that bit of foreign policy, which, by the way, history has shown was a disaster. The Federal Reserve, by the way, held steady on interest rates at the conclusion of its March meeting, and it's sticking with its forecast for 3 interest rate cuts coming up. And guess what? Wall Street really likes it. The market's up 356 points at the moment. If that holds off for another hour, that's historic territory and very positive territory. Everything going on right now, and a great deal of it involving aid to Ukraine and aid to Israel, both of which are in a devastating war situation. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, at a press conference was asked, what do you make of former President Trump's comments saying the Jews who vote for Democrats hate Israel and hate the Jewish religion? Now, again, it's an uncomfortable question to ask that of Mike Johnson, who is a evangelical Christian, and for him to talk about comments about Jews who vote for Democrats. In any event, I think that Johnson handled that particular question reasonably. Well, let's listen. It's a clip 5.
I don't speak for President Trump, but I understand the sentiment that he's trying to express. I mean, if you look at the voting records, you know, I mean, look at the Israel funding. You know, we talked about the supplemental. I've tried on 2 different occasions to push the Israel, funding request through. We did it with a pay for initially, right out of the blocks, right after I became Speaker, and then we did a clean Israel bill, and the President issued a veto threat over that. I was stunned. I actually couldn't believe that he did that. And that peeled off, I think it was 160 plus Democrats voted against funding for Israel at the time where they're fighting for their very existence and need it so desperately. And so I think people interpret that for what it is. I think the facts speak for themselves. I think you see the House Republicans and the Republican Party at large, and President Trump, for that matter, standing strong with Israel, and you see an increasingly large number of Democrats and a big faction of the Democratic Party who are standing against Israel openly. They're saying the quiet parts out loud, and to us that's alarming. I think it's shameful, and I think that's what President Trump's referring to, and his language is his language, but I think that's a sentiment that most of the American people understand, and that's how they interpret it.
Okay, the idea that most American people understand that, given the fact that 70% of Jews voted Democratic in the last presidential election, they voted for Joe Biden. Do you think people understand that notion that when you're voting Democratic, that means that you are hating your own religion and abandoning your own religion? It used to be that there was a sense that there was the 613 commandments, according to Jewish tradition in the Torah, that there was a 614th commandment that said, thou shalt vote Democratic. And I've always made fun of that. That's ridiculous. But the idea that now the essence of Judaism is being put on the block, Chuck Schumer has his own response to Trump's comments, which he calls utterly disgusting. And yesterday, the House rejected a stand-alone bill to send billions of dollars. The House rejected a stand-alone bill. So it's a month ago. So what is the latest? We will get to that and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night. And more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a three-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Michael Medved Show. Right now there's a very uncomfortable situation, and it's uncomfortable for people who actually care about the security of Israel, which is that issue is becoming more and more of a political football. And who began this latest round? It's Chuck Schumer. who has, of course, traditionally been very supportive of the state of Israel. But the fact is he doesn't like or value or support Prime Minister Netanyahu. By the way, Netanyahu's approval rating in recent polling in Israel is about 15%. I mean, it's bad. It makes Biden and Trump seem like, they just have scintillating and explosive popularity. Netanyahu has been a problem, and one of the problems is he was prime minister when that terrible series of security breaches happened that allowed the October 7th massacre to occur. And concerning pursuing this war, most Israelis do not want, according to polling, a new election now, but they want a new prime minister when the war is concluded. We'll be talking to Ilan Berman coming up about the idea of ending the war and how it is likely to end. But today, Schumer ripped Donald Trump's comments about people who vote Democratic being showing hatred for Israel and for the Jewish religion. This is Chuck Schumer on the Senate floor. Listen.
In the reprehensible and dangerous comments made yesterday by former President Trump, the former president's comments were utterly disgusting and a textbook example of the kind of anti-Semitism facing Jews, pushing the dangerous anti-Semitism trope of dual loyalty. To say you hate Israel or your religion, excuse me, to say you hate Israel or your religion because you have one political view over the other is sick, it's hateful. It is unadulterated anti-Semitism. And it serves to use Israel as a political wedge, further damaging the bonds between U.S. and Israel.
Okay, it is not a helpful comment, but using words like sick and disgusting, what President Trump said in a radio interview is, he said, concerning Democrats who happen to be Jewish, he said, I actually think they hate Israel. I think they hate Israel, and the Democrat Party hates Israel. And he also said, and this is a direct quote, any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion. They hate everything about Israel, and they should be ashamed of themselves because Israel will be destroyed. This is really very, very problematic, because if you are trying to compete for voters, and you want voters from a certain group, take the group of American Jews who vote in disproportionate numbers, because even though we're about 2% of the U.S. population, we're usually about 4% of the electorate in terms of exit polls. And the voting for Jewish people has been consistently for Democrats. Do you win over some of those Jewish Democrats by saying that in the past, if you voted Democrats, then that means you hate your religion? You see, the difficulty here is that part of the reason, and I got into this a little bit yesterday, but it's very important for people to understand it. Part of what happens for Jewish people is the big impulse of what it means to maintain a Jewish identity is to try to connect with grandma. Try to connect with Bubba and Zeta. That's grandma and grandpa. And Bubba and Zeta, chances are, because they would have come as immigrants to the United States in many cases, but the chances are Bubba and Zeta were Democrats, that they worshipped Franklin Roosevelt, that they were great fans of John Kennedy, who was very popular, and lots of other Democrats. So if you are saying that if you vote for Democrats, that means you hate your religion, Well, you're insulting not just the people who themselves have voted that way, but their parents and grandparents who voted that way, which is a real problem. Johnson, Speaker Johnson, was asked about aid for Ukraine, which is a huge, huge topic. And what he said about the aid for Ukraine and its importance, that's clip one.
I have not specifically talked about the mechanism of funding Ukraine. We're talking about the whole supplemental and all these pieces, whether they would go individually or as a package. All those things are being debated and discussed. And internally, I think there is a big distinction in the minds of a lot of people between lethal aid for Ukraine and the humanitarian component. There's talk about what we call the Repo Act that you all know, where you could use the seized assets of Russian oligarchs in some manner to pay for the support of Ukraine, and then the loan concept is being discussed. So there's a lot of thoughtful, deliberate work and discussion going on amongst subsets of members about all that. Look, we understand the role that America plays in the world. We understand the importance of sending a strong signal to the world that we stand by our allies, and we cannot allow terrorists and tyrants to march through the globe. You unsettle the world order since World War II if America is not projecting strength. And I'll say this again, and you hear me say this a lot, but I'm deeply concerned that this White House and this president are projecting weakness on the world stage. And I believe that is the reason that so many of our adversaries are acting so provocatively.
Well, if you believe the White House is projecting weakness, Speaker Johnson, why not allow a vote in the Congress of the United States, a direct vote, which would be overwhelmingly won by the people who favor aid to Ukraine, because virtually all the Democrats and more than half the Republicans. The idea of what Moscow wants, why there hasn't been a ceasefire in Ukraine, we'll be talking about that with Ilan Berman, who's Senior Vice President of the American Foreign Policy Council in Washington, D.C., and what is it that Moscow wants as a price of actually negotiating some kind of ceasefire or peace with the Ukraine, which is struggling right now to maintain its survival as an independent nation? We will get to that with Ilan Berman coming up on the MedVet Show.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Negotiations for a temporary ceasefire between Israel and Hamas are ongoing, according to the White House. Additionally, Secretary of State Antony Blinken scheduled to visit Saudi Arabia and Egypt this week as part of a diplomatic effort related to the conflict. United Health Group, one of the nation's largest healthcare providers, said it is making progress recovering from one of the worst cyber attacks on a healthcare system in United States history. Pharmacy, medical claims, and payment systems were targeted by that attack. President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump both already clinched their party's presidential nominations, but they picked up some more delegates Tuesday in their respective primary contests in Arizona, Florida, Illinois, Kansas, and Ohio. Corey Myers, USA News.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
To welcome back to the Michael Medved Show, Ilan Berman, who is Senior Vice President at the American Foreign Policy Council in Washington, D.C. He is also an expert on regional security in the Middle East, Central Asia, and an expert on the Russian Federation. He has consulted for the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, and yes, he can admit that and, in fact, speak about that. But he's also consulted for the U.S. Departments of State and Defense and has provided assistance on foreign policy and national security issues to a range of governmental agencies and congressional offices. First off, Ilan, I know you were following the fierce competition in the Russian election over the weekend. Was there some level of disappointment that President Putin only got 87%?
Oh, no, it was a real squeaker, as we say, right? But I actually found that number really telling because for a couple of reasons. First of all, because it highlights the fact that Putin has a strong grip, a dramatic grip on Russian society, but it's not absolute because he had spent the preceding weeks eliminating both legislatively and administratively and also physically any semblance of opposition to his rule, to his candidacy, right?
Physically, you mean he had opponents killed?
No, correct. Alexei Navalny, the main opposition leader, met an untimely end in an Arctic penal colony. There were other upstart candidates, guys like pro-democracy activist Boris Nadezhdin, that was excluded administratively from actually being eligible to stand for the vote. And yet Putin only won 87% of the electorate. One would expect that in a rigged election like this, quite frankly, his cohort would have sort of created a more resounding victory for him. And I think the fact that, you know, he didn't get 96, 97, 99% the way people like Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad do is because you do have healthy opposition protest votes at the grassroots level in Russia. You have people who made disturbances at the polling places. This was not enough to move the needle in any substantial way, of course. But it does really show you that, you know, this undercurrent of dissent is still alive. It may not be thriving, but it's surviving in Russia.
Now, of course, part of what the Putin government says is that the election proves that there is overwhelming support for Russia to pursue the war, to win the war, to completely seize those contested areas of Ukrainian territory. What is it that that Putin really wants to achieve with this war?
It's quite clear that as a result of this logjam that we have politically in Congress, as a result of this fatigue over the Ukraine war, as a result of other issues like the conflict between Israel and Hamas, the sort of the momentum in the struggle between Russia and Ukraine is really shifting, and the wind is now at Russia's back. And so politically, the election is being used, it's already being used by the Kremlin as this sort of mandate for really sort of, you know, pressing its advantage. But the other thing that's happening as a result is that as European and American aid gets bogged down, slows down, you're beginning to see all of these voices, you know, people like the Turkish president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, people like the Pope, come out and start calling on the Ukrainians to sue for peace. The only problem with that equation is that, you know, it takes two to tango. And the Russians, especially now when they have the initiative, have very little incentive to sue for peace, to come up with some sort of modus vivendi. The Russians have been pretty clear, pretty adamant, that what they want is nothing short of the total subjugation of Ukraine and its elimination of the nation state. And, you know, that's a really hard pill to swallow because we all want the conflict to end, but the Ukrainians understand that the stakes are very, very high.
How weak does the U.S. end up looking by taking so many months and so much controversy to provide extremely important and necessary and desperately needed aid to Ukraine?
There's two really alarming lessons here. First of all, you know, the Biden administration rhetorically has been saying the right things about the need to support Ukraine, but in terms of practical application, the aid that it's trickled out has been, you know, a day late and a dollar short. It's really not been the transformative tech that Ukraine needs to, you know, tilt the battlefield to its advantage. And so the aggregate result is twofold. First of all, we don't look like a dependable ally because of all the political squabbling that everybody sees us going through now for additional aid. But on the other side, the authoritarians in the world, right, not just Vladimir Putin, but the supreme leader of Iran, Xi Jinping in China, and so on and so forth, what they're looking at is a situation where they're able to say to their own constituents and to their own base of support, hey, look, America spent upwards of $100 billion to support Ukraine, and America's aid was not transformative. America really didn't move the needle or change the equation in any fundamental way. And that's a recipe for all sorts of really unhealthy brinksmanship that America's going to have to deal with in the years ahead.
And what about America's role in the Middle East and the current mini war between Chuck Schumer and Bibi Netanyahu? Is this a real problem for Israel going forward and hoping to end its war in Gaza?
Well, look, so I think it is a real problem for Israel insofar as it's the leading edge of a larger rupture that you're seeing emerge between an Israeli society that is increasingly security-minded, that believes less and less in the viability of a two-state solution, and an American administration that is heading into a really tough re-election that is tacking to the left and is trying really hard to put pressure on Israel because of all sorts of considerations, but not least because of a very vocal activist wing in the Democratic Party. But Schumer's comments about the need for Israel to rush to elections, about the need for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to go, were exceptionally egregious, not because there are disagreements between Washington and Jerusalem, right? Those arise all the time. But because we don't hear that type of rhetoric from the Senate Majority Leader when he talks about, for example, the Supreme Leader of Iran, who was selected and not elected. We don't hear him talk about it in the context of the Chinese Communist Party. So what it looks an awful lot like is that the United States is picking on the only democracy in the Middle East because its political priorities are not those that serve the Democratic Party. And that's a really ugly look.
You know, there's a joke going around in Israel, apparently, which says, yeah, Schumer and Biden are pursuing a two-state solution. The two states are Michigan and Arizona.
sadly, you know, every joke like that has a grain of truth to it, right?
Yes, indeed. If we can continue the conversation a little bit in terms of the desire for a peace, some kind of ceasefire, some kind of additional aid, and the likely end to the war in Gaza. There's a provocative piece that you've done on this. There is a piece today in the New York Times by Brett Stevens where he talks about a Palestinian Arab mandate solution for what happens to Gaza. What next? And at what point will the war weariness set in for the conflict in the Middle East? We'll continue the conversation with Ilan Berman coming up on the MedVed Show.
All hail America's radio czar.
Best show on the radio.
Michael MedVed.
Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. A lot of times on the Michael Medved Show, we're talking about the present, things that just happened. Sometimes we try to look toward the future, but we also try very seriously to look toward the past. And that's why it's a very good idea right now in this present moment to sign up as a Medhead Plus member. It gives you access to close to 100 history programs on the Medved Show, ranging from the American Revolution to the origins of the State of Israel to the history of political parties in the United States and the Constitution and world struggles like World War I and World War II, and yes, the Vietnam War. All available to you at a minuscule cost of 22 cents a day. Plus access to our show 24/7. Go to MedvedHistoryStore.com. You spend a little, you learn a lot.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Speaking to Ilan Berman, who is with the American Foreign Policy Council, and talking about the ongoing wars in Ukraine and in Gaza. There's been talk today, Ilan, about Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, inviting Prime Minister Netanyahu to the United States to give a speech to a joint session of Congress. First of all, would this clear the Democratic Senate? Which is a real question, given the fact that Schumer is the majority leader. Does it need to clear the Senate, or would he just end up speaking to the House of Representatives? Do you think the entire idea of, in the midst of this war and the conflicts going on right now between the Netanyahu government and the Biden administration, is it a good idea for him to come and speak to the members of Congress?
You know, I'm sort of in the midst of revising my opinion about this, because I definitely see the need for the Prime Minister to make the case that the strategy that he's pursuing in terms of the war against Hamas is both sound and is worthy of support from Congress as we head into the election season, as you see the White House really tacking left and beginning to undercut the legitimacy of what Israel is doing. So I certainly see it from that regard. And by the way, you know, I know it's not going to make a lot of the mainstream media, but today Prime Minister Netanyahu spoke by video conference with a Republican gathering of Republican members of Congress. And this is being reported in the press as a partisan event. However, he had offered to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to do the same for Democrats, and Schumer refused. So politics are already being played with the attempt by the Israelis to try to explain their position. Whether the Prime Minister should be an active participant, should double down on this process, I'm not so sure. But I think it bears noting that the White House is very, very clearly beginning to pick winners and losers in the Israeli internal political debate. Prime Minister Netanyahu's main political rival, former Defense Minister Benny Gantz, is a member of his war cabinet. And a couple of weeks ago, he came to Washington without the approval of the Prime Minister to talk about the war in Gaza, but also conceivably to talk about a future coalition that he'll head up. If that's not meddling in internal politics, I'm not quite sure what it is. But this is, I think, trending in a very ugly direction.
And meaning that we will probably not see Netanyahu making the trip here. The last time he made the trip and he spoke against President Obama's handling of the negotiations with Iran and the Iran nuclear deal, where I think history has shown that probably Netanyahu was right and that it was not a deal that worked well for the benefit of the United States. But is there any chance that if he spoke to Congress, you would not have a fair number of so-called progressive Democrats who wouldn't even show up?
No, I think that's the best possible outcome, right? Rather, the nightmare scenario is that, you know, he's not allowed to proceed because they shout him down, and it becomes all about the personality of the prime minister rather than the legitimacy of Israel's war aims. So I think that's what he and his staff are weighing at the moment. I'm not sure that the type of reception that the prime minister received when he came a few years ago to make the Israeli case against the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action with Iran. He's not going to get the same kind of reception. He's certainly not going to get the kind of same kind of warm reception from both houses of Congress. The question really to me is whether doing so, whether making the trip, whether exposing himself to criticism of interfering in U.S. election, internal election politics, is worth the higher profile that the message that he's going to convey will get as a result. I don't know that there's a clear answer to this, at least not yet.
What's the clear answer to the end of the war? What happens? Again, there's been a great deal of discussion about this concerning Israel's future involvement, if any, in Gaza. In 2005, the Israelis basically washed their hands of any involvement in Gaza at all. They can't end this war in the same way, can they?
No, they can't for really for security purposes, and also for, at least for the moment, for political and economic purposes. And this is what I mean. Those are really, to me, the three legs of the stool. There's the security question, and so a restoration of Gaza where there isn't a blocking force, an envelope that separates communities in southern Israel from the civilians in the Gaza Strip is no longer tenable because we saw what happened when there wasn't such a buffer force. So Israel is gearing up for a long-term, right, let's not put too fine a point on it, right, a long-term military occupation of at least parts of the Gaza Strip. That's not going to rub well with Israel's partners in the Middle East. It's not going to rub well with the international community. So this is a problem. The economics are an even bigger problem because the Palestinian Authority runs a derivative economy. 70% of the economy of the Palestinian Authority writ large is generated by cross-border labor, labor by Palestinians that cross into Israel, or in the past crossed into Israel from the West Bank and Gaza Strip, and worked in Israeli fields or Israeli factories or were part of the Israeli labor force. That's all over. That's all done now, right? And so what you're seeing is rising joblessness in the West Bank, not to mention the Gaza Strip. But even more importantly, in the future, there's not going to be a sustainable Palestinian economy because Israel, after October 7th, is separating from the Palestinians economically. And that leads you to the politics, right? Who is going to be in charge of the Gaza Strip after Israel concludes its military operations there? And here, everybody's been floating the idea of the Palestinian Authority, but the Palestinian Authority is bankrupt. It doesn't have the support of even a plurality of the Palestinian people. And so there's really a deficit of leadership. And there's real reason to suspect that the Palestinian Authority can't even control the West Bank. So the idea of granting it, gifting it more territory, is going to really be a disaster foretold. So I think those three things, we need greater clarity on all of those three things, and we need greater international participation. Because up until very, very recently, the United States and Israel were the only countries providing aid to the Palestinians in Gaza. Now a couple of Arab countries, Morocco and Jordan, have begun doing so as well. But no Arab country has taken Palestinian refugees, and no Arab country has stepped up to propose some sort of rehabilitation, overhaul, construction of a viable economy, a viable political sector, in a way that would allow Israel to really disengage.
What Brett Stevens is writing about is the dream of some kind of mandate over Gaza that would include some of the more moderate Arab countries, probably include Qatar, probably include some of the Emirates, and with the goal being that the Gaza Strip could take the path ultimately of being an equivalent of the Emiratis. Too visionary?
Certainly optimistic. I don't know if it's too visionary, because I think Brett is onto something, in at least in the respect that Israel is in a much more advantageous position now in the region than it was a decade ago. It has trade and political relations with countries like Bahrain, countries like Morocco, countries like the United Arab Emirates. These are countries it may not trust completely, but it certainly trusts more than it trusts its other neighbors. And so really, my sense is the most constructive thing that you could do, and which will have the ancillary benefit of breathing new life into what we used to know as the Abraham Accords, is to get those countries to play a more activist role, to put real skin in the game and suggest economic plans, political plans that get them involved and make them stakeholders in the Palestinian future.
So much appreciate, Ilan Berman, your conversation and your insight and your background. Coming up, we're going to be talking to David Drucker about some of the ongoing political challenges being faced by both sides right now. That and more coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of Carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.